agree with Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, who said, for Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, quote, it's about reps, end quote. With those reps in week two scheduled to come at Houston on Sunday Night Football, do you expect his love of big moments to help him play better against the Texans? Will he continue to protect the football?
Oh, boy. You know, a lot there. He definitely has to continue to protect the football because that was the one thing that they did well in the opener, and you got to build on the things you're doing well. And I know that's a very low bar, but it's a high success bar. So I hope that he continues to protect the football. I think it's a new opportunity. It's a different game. It will unfold differently. And there is a chance that he will find his rhythm and be able to play differently. And I think that the Bears should improve from 1 week to the next. And by improvement, I mean a jump. I think they should have a better idea of what they want to do, of how to go about it, and of what will keep them being successful. They've been at this for a while, and they probably have a feel for what he can do best, and I think they've got to get to that. And I do believe that with the nation watching, with the big moment there, that the best in Caleb Williams will arise. And I will say he has a significantly better and fairly decent game.
I think you're right about the fact that he embraces, relishes those under the light big national TV moments. You know, the last one, though, I think of course, as a Notre Dame fan, didn't go too well for him under the lights on national TV. But I agree, reps can't hurt. You always get better with more reps. The more reps, absolutely the better. And I do think he protects the football Sunday night.
Are you saying he doesn't like playing on NBC?
Well, I just wonder, you know, is it a boogeyman?
He did the
thing?
Year before.
I think he's going to be a player that rises to the occasion. It's kind of in his DNA. It's what he is here for, and I have to be honest about this question and about what we heard yesterday. If I'm ranking my concern level for Bears on Sunday night in Houston, Shane Waldron is higher on my list of concerns than Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams needs to play well. I think he does need the reps. He will protect the football. All of those things that he understands, he needs to complete the passes that are gimmies, and he missed a couple layups on Sunday in his debut. I think it will be easier for him to manage that anxiety, and he can deny it, but it did seem to be a product of whether it was anxiety or nerves or just adjusting to the new speed of the game. Whatever it was, Caleb Williams was off just a tick. He needs to recalibrate. And I think that Shane Waldron needs to look at himself, and I'm sure that he has. He sounded like an offensive coordinator who understood that he had some odd personnel groupings. He understood that his tight end was off the field more than he was on it, and he can't have that. He understood that he had the three wide receiver set with his three big guys only on there for 10 snaps out of 57. Shane Waldron did not call a good game. He needs to rise to the occasion himself on Sunday night. Caleb Williams will be better. Shane Waldron needs to be just as good.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs' time is at 7. What did you make of special teams coordinator Richard Hightower's blunt assessment of Velus Jones' performance in the season opener?
It's unacceptable. You know, we all know that. We value the ball. And on that particular play, we didn't. And it hurt the football team.
Hightower went on to praise DeAndre Carter, who replaced Jones and had a 67-yard return.
Well, if they don't replace Velus Jones, I think they've lost the plot. And I don't think you can be a coaching staff that talks about accountability and then gives Velus Jones another opportunity to ruin everything. They've got to be consistent, and Richard Hightower did sound like somebody committed to making that decision. And it's not as tough as it sounds. It's a decision that has to be made. They made it immediately. They need to continue down that road. If Velus Jones fits into your plans as a wide receiver because you don't have Roma Dunze this week, you might not have Keenan Allen, then fine. Let him do that. Let him play running back if you wish. I think that was what Matt Eberflus was referring to when he said he was proud. He was proud of the way that he didn't let the botched kickoff return interfere with carrying the ball or being counted on in the offense the way that they did on Sunday. Maybe they'll be in that position again because they have to be. I'll be surprised if he's active. If he is, it's because of injury, but they can't put him deep on kickoffs. And I think that's what you heard from Richard Hightower, who is very entertaining to listen to, by the way.
Yeah, I always like a guy who doesn't sugarcoat things, and I would be shocked if the Bears put Velus Jones in a position to field a ball on either of the special teams Sunday night.
Can you imagine what Collinsworth would say?
I got to be honest with you. I would rather hear Richard Hightower say unacceptable than whatever gobbledygook, whatever gibberish the head coach was spewing by saying he was proud of him. You know, he was proud of him. You're the one who gave him the ball. And if that had gone wrong, don't believe anyone wouldn't have known it was you that did it. So you're proud of him. I mean, again, you just can't trust him. You know, you will come across people in your life that you conclude you cannot trust. And you know what you do? You don't trust them. And I would never let the guy return kickoffs. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, he would have to have weeks of practices where I felt, wow, he's really turned a corner and he's really explosive and we got to get him on the field. I don't even know if I'd want him on the field. I think I might prefer a practice squatter if they have issues at wide receiver because he was deemed not good enough to make the team as a wide receiver. So I hope not to see him this week.
Well, good questions, guys. Yeah, good questions.
If you're the Bears defense, what player concerns you the most? C.J. Stroud, Stephon Diggs, or Joe Mixon? What Texan will have the biggest day?
Well, I tell you what, the immediate problem right now is Joe Mixon because he had such a good game in week one. The problem that you have is C.J. Stroud. He's the problem, him and the entire receiving core. Stephon Diggs has had big games against the Bears, so I would be very worried about him. But I think you got to stop the run. You got to go in with the idea that you're going to stop the run. And then you're going to try to defend the quarterback when he's forced to throw. The problem with this game, and we'll get to our picks, but the problem with the game is that if the Texans get ahead, then all of a sudden the Bears aren't going to have much. If they have to pass, this is a bad idea. You would hope that the Bears could establish a run, whatever. But, yeah, the immediate problem is Joe Mixon. The major problem and the larger problem is C.J. Stroud.
Well, I don't think we were surprised by what C.J. Stroud did in game number one against the Colts. And let's also keep that in perspective. Like, they played the Colts, who I don't expect to be that great this year. So it wasn't like they knocked off some juggernaut of a team. But a win is a win is a win, and they were on the road. It's not easy to win in the NFL. Let's see if, and I agree with you, Mully, Joe Mixon is the guy you got to. Can Joe Mixon do that again? Question mark. Joe Mixon got onto the Texans because they needed to improve their running game, but he wasn't like break the bank kind of running back. Running backs don't really break the bank anymore in the NFL. But yes, Joe Mixon is who I'm worried about, but kind of hinting at my pick a little bit, I think the Bears will be able to contain him on Sunday Night Football.
Stephon Diggs in 9 games against the Bears, going back to his Viking days where he played him a lot, twice a year, has 54 catches, 602 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That's pretty good. He had, remember back in 2018 against a very good defense, I think he caught 13 passes for 130 yards or something like that and had a score. He's a problem. But the Bears also have two of the best cornerbacks playing at a very high level that can maybe help contain him. I think this, like you guys have said, Joe Mixon is the engine to that running game. They got him for a reason, and he's coming in hot. You have to, as they say, stop the run to earn the right to rush the passer. If you stop the run, then you can rush the passer and make things more one-dimensional for the Texans. And no matter how good the quarterback might be, no matter how dangerous Stephon Diggs is, that's an advantage defense. If you can make any offense one-dimensional, no matter how good the quarterback is, he's going to be more challenged with somebody throwing with somebody in his face. Matt Eberflus needs to mix up the blitzes, the looks, the disguises. dial some things up from the secondary. You stop Joe Mixon, though. You stop that running game, and it allows you some flexibility that you need, that you're going to need, and you want to see the Bear defense that you saw in the second half against Will Levis. But newsflash, C.J. Stroud is not Will Levis. So it could be a problem, but you need to start somewhere, and the task begins with stopping the run.
Can you give me those numbers one more time? That is extraordinary.
In 9 games against the Bears, according to the Sun-Times, and it's also on the press release, 9 games against the Bears, 54 catches, 602 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Oh, my God.
Monster game in 2018. He had 13 catches, 126 yards, and a score.
Oh. Yes. Hey, well, here's another question. Oh.
That's the voice of Mark Grody. He'll be with Mully and Haw at 8:25 this morning. Caleb Williams' longest completion in week one was 13 yards. The Texans gave up 3 passes of 50 or more yards. How aggressive do you expect the Bears' passing game to be?
Talking to you, Shane Waldron, this has got to be something that you incorporate into your game plan, that you write on your play sheet, that you keep in your front of your head, tip of your tongue, however you want to describe it. Think big. Think big. Caleb Williams is not here to manage games. He is here to win them. And Caleb Williams protected the football against the Titans. It was his debut. There are a lot of things that we are going to, sins will forgive because it was the opener, because he is a rookie, because of all the things we've heard and will continue to say until kickoff. But at some point in time, you got to give him a chance to be who he is. I know he missed some throws on Sunday. Give him a chance to miss him again, because he won't. So you've got to think big to win a game like this, to beat an opponent you shouldn't, to be the underdog that, you know, beats the favorite. And I think that if Shane Waldron, and I have no reason to believe he won't, but I do, as I said earlier, I have more concerns about his ability to call a smart game than I do with Caleb Williams' ability to rise to the occasion. So this is a secondary that has proven one thing in one game. Talking about the Texans, they can be beaten deep, so try to beat them deep.
Yeah, go ahead and try. I agree with that. The only concern, obviously, is that two of your deep threats have been sitting out all week at practice, right? So that could be an issue. I'm sure Caleb Williams wants to throw the ball a long way and show off on Sunday Night Football. I bet they've got a play if there's a takeaway. You know, I mean, this kind of goes back to high school stuff.
Sudden change.
You know, right? Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, honest to God, I would try to throw a 50-yard pass on the first series of the game. And I might do it on the opening play of the game. And I might expect the first interception to happen at that point because in my mind, I see Tyler Scott run underneath it. It bounces off his hands and someone picks. That's being mean. No, but I do think if you're going to do that, if you want to do it, strike right away because get a lead and ride it. You know, go at these guys, just shock the world right away. I really believe that. And I think that later in the game, when things go awry and maybe I'm giving away my pick, I think you got to be careful to make sure that that you aren't putting anybody in harm's way. Score early.
I'm afraid of these questions, well, David. When you lead into this, I'm just saying.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer, radio analyst for Cubs baseball on the Score. He'll be with Mully and Haw at 8 this morning. Are the Cubs going to sweep their series at the Rockies? Are they going to lose a game? Which Cubs starter will have the best outing, Assad, Tyone, or Hendricks?
I think the Cubs are going to sweep, and I think Tyone's going to have a really good start. And I think if not, I will go in order, Tyone, Hendricks, Assad. And that's being mean to Assad, but I think the other two guys are going to pitch great. And I think the 10-run offense is going to be there for you, and I think they might score like 18 runs in a game.
I agree with what you just said. I believe the Cubs sweep this thing, and they have to sweep this thing, quite frankly, if they have any hopes of being within, I don't know, 3.5 or 4 come Monday morning?
The math isn't good. The math is not good. I think they can only afford to lose once or twice more. It's not going to – you look at the Mets, they're 80-66, they're 14 games over. And you look at the Braves, and they're a game back of the Mets. The Cubs are 5 out. with 16 to play, but that actually is six because they don't have the tiebreaker. Ah, the math stinks. This weekend, it's an opportunity for the Cubs to get well, to sweep, to make things interesting, and just to finish strong. They have a schedule that's conducive to winning. I do think it's in reverse order, though. I don't think that, or maybe it's in the order the question was asked. I think Assad is going to be lights out. Tyone will be good enough. And the professor, I don't have a lot of faith in the professor.
I know you don't. That's why I picked him second.
I think it's Assad, Tyone, and the professor on a bullpen day. And I think it's going to be, there's going to be one of these games that's going to end up softball-ish, like 13-10, because they are in Colorado. The air is thin, and I think that there will be some home runs hit in a ballpark that isn't like Wrigley Field, that is a good hitter's ballpark. So, yeah, I think the Cubs sweep, and Assad is the best of the three starting pitchers.
The rare three-part question.
That is the voice of Joe Fortenbaugh. He'll have something to say about college football, and that's where we're turning our attention now. Can you please give us a couple college football games you'll be watching this weekend? Do you have a pick or a rooting interest in Alabama-Wisconsin? And is there a team you can identify as this weekend's version of Notre Dame?
Ouch. Who's going to be the Marcus Freeman candidate coach of the week? I sure hope it's Mario Cristobal in Miami. Down in South Florida, because I think the Ball State Cardinals are getting 30-plus points. And let's hope that Miami is more interested in other things. And chirp, chirp, the upset can happen much the way that Northern Illinois went into South Bend. But my hopes are just that, not based on realistic or realism. I think that Purdue is looking at this as the Notre Dame's going to be the Notre Dame of this week, because they're playing in West Lafayette. And Notre Dame is coming off a terrible loss, and you're hearing how terrible they are and how overmatched, all the things, but I don't know if anybody has any confidence that they're going to go down to West Lafayette and play well. I will be curious about that game. I will be, you know, because of personal interest, invested in the Miami Ball State game. I'll be curious about what Northwestern does on the lakefront Saturday night in that beautiful temporary stadium against Eastern Illinois. They should take care of business easily. So you have some local interest. Illinois should take care of business too. But I'm curious. I'm most intrigued the game of the week in college football, because it doesn't happen maybe once a century. But the Crimson Tide at Camp Randall. Alabama going to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I think Alabama will win. I don't know how good Wisconsin really is, but it's going to look very. It's going to be very cool having that crowd get into that game. And Alabama being fourth overall is going to rout Wisconsin, I think, but it will be fun to watch.
Well, that game's got the national attention. You know, the big noon kickoff will be up there. Alabama, though, all the way up to a 16.5-point favorite per Circus Sports Illinois. That's a lot of points
for a
marquee-type game. Jump around up at Wisconsin, something very cool, a cool college football tradition, and unfortunately with all the reshuffling of conferences, we're losing a lot of the traditions in college football. Of course, I'm curious to see how Notre Dame does at Purdue. If there's time, if it warrants it, and you guys know better than I, you know, 24th BC at number 6 Missouri, game goes before noon. What's Brad, you know, is Brad Biggs, proud Missouri grad, what's, is Missouri the 6th best team in the country? That would be pretty mind-blowing to me. But if there is a going into that idea of Notre Daming it up this week, I was talking to a guy yesterday about all the rivalry games in college football that we might be losing because of the new conference realignment. And one of those that sticks out, and it's actually happening this weekend, typically this would be a game played like Thanksgiving time, it's number 9 Oregon at Oregon State, who's part of the, you know, Pac State Conference, I think. Do you see all that? All the
yeah,
schools and the
they all joined. Yeah.
State. Yeah. This game used to be referred to as the Civil War. It was a really great rivalry. And I used to work in national radio. Like these fan bases would get after it. Okay, they're only playing two more right now. They're only playing two more this time and next year. They're only playing two more times. This is a 100-year-old rivalry. So I think this is one of those games where The Oregon State players might care more about the game than the NIL pocket-filled Oregon Ducks might care about this game. It's a 17, 18-point spread, depending on where you're looking. So let's call Oregon State upsetting number 9 Oregon, and that coach and his smugness being this week's Marcus
Freeman. Wow.
I like that. I like that. I was going to mention that game, Dustin, because there are some rivalry games, in-state rivalry games. There is the I was on a plane one time coming out of Seattle, and the pilot was announcing updated scores and then the final of Washington against Washington State. I believe it's called the Apple Bowl or the Apple Cup.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. I just happened to be flying back from something. I could not believe how insane the people on the plane were, all the fine people of Washington. It's apparently like a huge deal out there. And I mean, Olin will probably be able to talk about it. But I think Washington is obviously the favorite in the game. But, you know, I love those kind of in-state rivalry games. And by the way, we mentioned another one, Notre Dame against Purdue. That used to be a really good game at different points, it was. But I would hope that the Irish will be able to bounce back. I think Georgia plays Kentucky, right? Which is that is not in state, but that's still kind of a rivalry game. And LSU, South Carolina would be another one. I think they're having the South Carolina women's coach is going to be at
Dawn Staley.
Dawn Staley will be at the, you know, they're doing the, and I don't even know the name of any of these things because I no longer get ESPN and I no longer watch television.
What is she doing?
She's going to be a guest.
Oh, guest picker?
Guest picker.
The celebrity picker on college game day, I guess.
Well, I wonder who she'll pick.
I'm with you, Mully. I don't get ESPN anymore.
I hope she inspires South Carolina to beat LSU and
Brian
Kelly.
Wouldn't that be beautiful?
You know what's going to be a low-key but good matchup? I mean, to me, I wish they were playing basketball against each other, but Indiana and UCLA, good Big Ten matchup. Oh. National television on Saturday night.
Our buddy Pat Forty, did you read him yesterday? You got to go back and look at this. He wrote a story about how the West Coast Big Ten teams are traveling and what they're doing and the planes they're getting and the kind of they're committed to trying to compete in the Big Ten, not just travel across the country. Well,
they've got to look at it differently.
Yes,
And it's just one of those matchups. I think it is in L.A. though. I think that Indiana has to go west this week. But Indiana's coming off, wait for it, they won last week against Western Illinois, sorry studs, 77-3.
At Grange.
77-3.
How'd they get that field goal?
I don't know that the Indiana basketball team would score 77 points against Western Illinois. That's crazy. In two games, the Indiana Hoosiers have scored 108 points. It's like high school. Saturday night, NBC.
All right. It's fun stuff. And the highlight is Alabama at Wisconsin for whatever, a quarter of that if you can get through it.
Yeah. That'll be fun to watch.